everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be tackling a pretty meaty topic, you know, power dynamics. Specifically, we're looking at how this whole concept of power plays out in education.
And not just like the traditional top-down kind of power, right? We're really diving deep into how communication can actually transform those dynamics.
Right. We're using excerpts from Transforming Power Relations, The Invisible Revolution by Miti Keshtan.
Oh yeah, Keshtan's work is really insightful. She introduces this communication framework called Nonviolent Communication, or NVC.
NVC, okay. And so how does this NVC thing actually like change how we think about power, especially in schools?
Well, a lot of people, when they first hear about NVC, they're kind of skeptical, right? They think, oh, this is all about being nice and avoiding conflict.
Yeah, I can see that. It sounds a little, I don't know, idealistic maybe.
Right. But Keshtan actually addresses that head on. She starts off with stories from teachers like Cynthia, Steve, and Joan.
Real teachers.
Yeah, real teachers who were initially pretty doubtful about NVC. They thought it might work in like personal relationships, but in a classroom with all those power dynamics, they weren't so sure.
And honestly, I think a lot of people can relate to that. Schools, they're like built on this whole system of hierarchy, right? Teachers have the authority, students have to follow the rules.
Exactly. But NVC challenges that whole framework. It's not about one person having power over another. It's about shifting to what Keshtan calls power with.
Power with. So like sharing the power.
More like recognizing that everyone has power. And it's about how we use it. It's about collaboration, understanding each other's needs, and finding solutions that work for everyone involved.
Hmm, interesting. But how do you actually, like, do that, especially in a classroom full of kids with, you know, all their different needs and personalities?
Well, it all starts with this fundamental belief in NVC, that everyone has needs, and those needs aren't inherently in conflict.
Okay, but what about when, like, a student just wants to do whatever they want? And the teacher's trying to, you know, maintain order and teach a lesson. Those seem like conflicting needs, right?
It's not the needs themselves that are the problem. It's the strategies we use to try to meet those needs.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get it. So it's not about telling the student you can't do that. It's about trying to understand why they're doing it in the first place.
Exactly. Like maybe the student who's acting out, they're actually needing more attention. Or they're feeling frustrated because they don't understand the material.
So instead of just punishing them, you try to figure out what's going on beneath the surface.
Right. And that's where NVC comes in. It gives you the tools to communicate in a way that helps you uncover those needs and find solutions that work for everyone.
So it's not just about changing your behavior. It's about changing your whole mindset about what power is and how it operates.
Exactly. And this isn't just for teachers and students. You know, this applies to all kinds of relationships.
Like with your family, your boss, even just like random people you encounter throughout the day.
Absolutely. Power dynamics are everywhere. And NVC gives you a framework for navigating those dynamics in a way that's more compassionate, more effective, and ultimately more empowering for everyone involved.
Wow. Okay. So how does this all actually play out, like in a real world scenario?
Well, let's go back to Cynthia, that teacher we were talking about. She believed her students need discipline and structure, right? On the surface, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, every classroom needs some structure, right?
Of course. But if we look deeper, we might find that what Cynthia is actually describing are her own strategies for meeting her own needs. Maybe she needs a sense of order, or she needs to feel like she's contributing to her students' lives.
So it's not that her students don't need discipline or structure. It's that those might not be the most effective strategies for meeting their underlying needs.
Exactly. Maybe those students who are acting out are actually craving more autonomy in their learning experience, or they need to feel a sense of belonging and purpose in the classroom. NVC helps us uncover those underlying needs on both sides.
And then you can start to find solutions that actually address those needs instead of just resorting to the same old power struggles.
Precisely. It's about moving away from that power over dynamic where someone's in control and someone's being controlled and shifting towards power with, where everyone feels heard, respected, and empowered to contribute.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's about creating a more collaborative and understanding environment, both in the classroom and in all our relationships.
Exactly. And it's not always easy, but it's definitely worth the effort. Because when we start to shield our mindset about power, we open up a whole new world of possibilities.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how this NVC thing could be really powerful, but I'm still a little fuzzy on how it actually works in practice.
Well, one of the key elements of NVC is empathy. And in the context of NVC, empathy means really connecting with another person's feelings and needs without judgment.
So it's not just about feeling sorry for someone, it's about trying to see the world from their perspective.
Exactly. And that's not always easy, especially when you don't agree with someone's actions. But by truly understanding and empathizing with her students' needs, Cynthia can actually increase her power with them, not over them.
Because she's building that connection and trust.
Right. And when there's trust and connection, students are more willing to cooperate and find solutions that work for everyone. It's not about being permissive or letting students do whatever they want. It's about creating a space where everyone feels heard, respected, and empowered to make choices that are aligned with their needs and the needs of the group.
So it's a more holistic approach, one that addresses the root causes of conflict rather than just trying to control behavior.
Precisely. And it's a journey, not a destination. We don't have to be perfect at NVC all the time. It's about being willing to experiment, to make mistakes, and to keep practicing.
This brings us to another key idea from Kashtan, empowering others to say no.
Ah, yes. This one could be a bit tricky for people to wrap their heads around.
Yeah, I have to admit, that seems a bit counterintuitive. Shouldn't we be encouraging people to say yes?
Well, think about it this way. When we create a space where people feel safe to say no, their yes becomes so much more powerful.
I never thought about it like that.
Right. Think about a time when you felt pressured to say yes to something you didn't really want. Did it feel good? Did you actually want to follow through on that commitment?
Probably not. I can definitely relate to that.
Right. So NBC emphasizes creating an environment where people feel safe to decline requests without fear of judgment or punishment.
So it's about authenticity, really. Making sure that people are making choices that are truly aligned with their own needs and values, not just doing things because they feel obligated or afraid to say no.
Exactly. And this can have a profound impact on power dynamics, especially in settings like schools, where those traditional power structures can really stifle genuine choice and authentic expression.
This makes me think about that story Kashtan shares about Linda, the first grade teacher, and the sleeve pulling game. That was a really compelling example of how empowering someone to say no can actually lead to a more positive outcome than trying to force them to say yes.
Oh yeah, that's a great example. We should definitely dive into that story in more detail.
Let's do it. So this sleeve pulling game, what was it all about?
Okay, so picture this. You walk into a first grade classroom, and all these little kids are pulling their arms back through their sleeves.
Like inside out?
Yeah. Like they put their arm through the sleeve, then pull it back out so it's all bunched up.
Sounds kind of fun, actually.
It was all fun and games until kids started getting hurt, you know, bumping into each other, chipping on the loose sleeves.
Yeah, I can see how that would become a problem.
Right. So Linda, the teacher, she's trying to stop this sleeve pulling craze. She tries setting rules, giving warnings, even punishments.
Timeouts, that kind of thing.
The whole nine yards, but nothing seemed to work. These kids were determined to keep pulling those sleeves.
Sounds like a real power struggle brewing there.
Totally. And I think a lot of teachers would just give up at that point, you know, resort to more punishment, stricter rules.
Yeah, it's easy to fall into that trap, thinking you have to exert more control.
But Linda, she takes a totally different approach. She sits down with one of the kids who's really into this sleeve pulling game.
One-on-one.
Yeah. And instead of just telling him to stop, she starts asking him questions. Like, are you scared right now? Do you just want to have fun with your friends? Are you also worried about someone getting hurt?
Wow. She's really trying to understand his perspective.
Exactly. And the kid, he starts to open up. He tells her it's just so much fun to pull his sleeve and watch it snap back.
I bet it does.
Right. But he also admits that he's kind of worried about someone getting hurt. So Linda, she acknowledges his feelings, his need for fun, and his concern for safety.
So it wasn't about making him wrong or bad for wanting to play the game.
Not at all. It was about connecting with him, seeing him as a whole person with valid feelings and needs.
What happened next?
Well, the amazing thing is, after that one conversation, the kid stopped pulling his sleeve.
No way. Just like that.
Yeah. And it wasn't just him. The other kids who saw what happened, they started to stop too. They realized, hey, maybe this game isn't worth it if it's going to hurt someone.
That's incredible. It really shows you the power of empathy, doesn't it?
It really does. And it goes back to that idea of empowering others to say no. By creating that safe space for the kid to express himself, Linda actually helped him make a choice that was aligned with his values.
It wasn't about her forcing him to stop. It was about him choosing to stop because he understood the impact of his actions.
Right. And that's a much more powerful and lasting change than just obedience out of fear of punishment.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how this whole NVC thing can actually work in real life. It's not just some idealistic theory.
It's about changing the way we communicate, the way we relate to each other. And that can have a ripple effect, not just in classrooms, but in all areas of our lives.
Kashtan also talks about Lisa, the school principal, who was initially super conflict avoidant.
Ah, yes, Lisa. Her story is really interesting.
How does her story fit into all of this?
Well, Lisa, she learned through NVC that it's okay to express her own needs. Like, it's not selfish to ask for what you want, to set boundaries, to engage in those tough conversations.
Even if it means risking conflict.
Exactly. And she found that even when her needs weren't fully met, she still felt more empowered and more authentic than when she was trying to avoid conflict altogether.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, sometimes you have to be willing to rock the boat a little bit to create the kind of relationships you really want.
Right. And it's not always comfortable, but it's definitely worth it.
But how do you know when to prefer your needs and when to let go? I feel like that's a tough balance to strike.
It is. And there's no one-size-fits-all answer. It's about being mindful, you know, paying attention to your own needs, the needs of the other person, and trying to find that sweet spot where everyone feels heard and respected.
So it's a constant process of self-reflection and communication.
Absolutely. And NVC gives you the tool to navigate that process with more awareness, compassion, and skill.
Okay, so we've talked about individual teachers using NVC, but Kostin also mentions Lisa's school, where this whole NVC approach was implemented on a wider scale.
Yeah, that's one of the most inspiring parts of the book, seeing how this can actually transform a whole school community.
But I imagine it wasn't easy, right? Getting everyone on board with this new way of doing things.
Not at all. When they first introduced NVC training at the school, there was a lot of resistance.
I bet. People are creatures of habit. Change is hard.
Especially when it comes to deeply ingrained power structures. But a small group of teachers, they really believed in NVC.
They were committed to making it work.
Yeah, and they kept at it. They practiced with each other, they brought it into their classrooms, and slowly, things started to shift.
Like, what kind of changes did they see?
Well, for one thing, conflicts were being resolved more peacefully and effectively. Teachers were communicating more openly with each other, with students, with parents.
So it wasn't just about the kids, it was about changing the whole culture of the school.
Exactly, and it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. You know, there were still challenges, still disagreements. But they had this new way of approaching those challenges, a way that emphasized understanding and collaboration.
Sounds like a pretty amazing transformation.
It really was, and it shows you what's possible when we start to shift those power dynamics, not just on an individual level, but on a systemic level.
So it's like NVC can not only change individual relationships, but you can actually create a ripple effect that transforms entire communities.
That's the hope, anyway. And that's why this work is so important. It's about planting seeds of change. You know, even if we don't see the full effects right away, those seeds can take root and grow into something really powerful.
Okay, so let's say someone's listening to this and they're thinking, this NVC thing sounds pretty amazing, but I have no idea where to start. What advice would you give them?
Well, I think the most important thing is to start with yourself. Get curious about your own needs, your own reactions, your own habitual patterns of communication.
So it's like looking inward before you try to change the world around you.
Exactly. Because the more we understand ourselves, the more equipped we are to understand and connect with others.
And that's really what NVC is all about, right?
It's about recognizing our shared humanity, even in the midst of conflict and disagreement. It's about choosing connection over being right.
And believing that there's always a possibility for understanding and growth.
Even in those moments when it feels like we're worlds apart.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but there's still one big question that's been lingering in my mind.
What's that?
What happens when those needs, those deeply held needs that we've been talking about, what happens when they truly are incompatible? Like when there's just no way to find a solution that works for everyone?
That's a great question, and it's one that we'll definitely need to explore further.
Let's do it. So we left off with this big question, you know, what do you do when you're in a situation where the needs just seem totally incompatible? Like there's just no way to find a solution that works for everyone.
Right. Those are the tough ones. But even then, NVC can still offer some guidance. It's not about magically making the conflict disappear, but it can help us navigate those tricky situations with more awareness and compassion.
Okay. So how do you actually do that? Like where do you even begin when it feels like you're at a total impasse?
Well, the first step is to resist that urge to jump into problem-solving mode right away. Instead, try to just stay present with the discomfort.
Easier said than done, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's natural to want to fix things, to find a quick solution. But sometimes that can actually make things worse. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a wound that needs stitches.
So you're saying sometimes you have to, like, sit with the discomfort for a while before you can even start to address it.
Exactly. And that's where empathy comes in again, both for yourself and for the other person.
So it's like taking a deep breath and saying, okay, this is hard, but I'm going to try to understand what's going on here.
Right. Start by acknowledging your own feelings and needs. What's coming up for you in this situation? What's making you feel stuck?
And then do the same for the other person, right? Try to see things from their perspective, even if you don't agree with them.
Exactly. And this can be really challenging, especially when you're feeling triggered or defensive. But it's essential for creating that space for dialogue, for understanding.
Because when you can see where the other person is coming from, it's easier to find that common ground, even if it's just a tiny sliver.
Right. And sometimes just that little bit of understanding can be enough to shift the energy of the conversation, to open up new possibilities.
So it's not about pretending that the conflict doesn't exist. It's about approaching it with a different mindset.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that Even in those seemingly impossible situations, there's still a shared humanity, a common ground that we can connect with.
And that connection is where the real transformation happens.
Absolutely. It's in those moments of vulnerability, of empathy, of genuine connection, that we can start to break down those old patterns of power and control and create something new, something more collaborative, more compassionate, and ultimately more fulfilling for everyone involved.
Wow, this has been such an eye-opening conversation. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on power dynamics and how to navigate them in a way that's more aligned with my values.
I'm glad to hear that. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination. There will be times when you stumble, when you fall back into those old habits, but that's okay. It's all part of the process.
The important thing is to keep practicing, keep learning, and keep striving to create those win-win solutions whenever possible.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask for help. There are so many resources out there. Books, workshops, online communities, people who are passionate about NVC and eager to support you on your journey.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights and expertise with us today. It's been a real pleasure diving deep into this topic with you.
It's been my pleasure as well. And to everyone listening, I encourage you to take what you've learned today and start applying it in your own life. You might be surprised at the transformations that unfold.
That's right. Remember, even small acts of conscious communication can have a ripple effect, creating a more peaceful and fulfilling world for all of us.
And on that note, we'll wrap things up for today. Until next time, keep diving deep.
See you next time.